need a much greater reality of grace than that. I did a I did an analogy one time where I compared salvation to a supercomputer, and the analogy works fine for grace too. Imagine somebody gave you this new state-of-the-art computer. It's, you know, it's a 1,000 gig hard drive, 10 gigs of RAM, high speed everything, wireless everything, incredible graphics capabilities, you know, unimaginable software package. For those of you who maybe not computer literate, it does a lot of really nifty things. You know, it does, you know, all the video editing stuff that Brother Lumen was talking about, and website stuff, and CD burning, and DVD burning. It does all this incredible stuff. Someone hands it to you, gives you the whole thing, and you say thanks. You turn it on, and you sit down, and you find the computer card game Solitaire, and you just sit there and play that for the next 40 years. What a horrible misunderstanding and misconception of what you have. It's not like you don't have the entire computer. It's not like you don't have the fullness of grace. It's not like everything that this computer is not right there in front of you, but you see your comprehension of what you have becomes the limitation of what you experience. I want to say that again. Your comprehension of what you have becomes the limitation of what you experience. So we don't know anything about this vast and measureless grace in which we stand when we're first born again. We know almost nothing about it. We only know our perceived need, which generally, you know, for most people when you're born again, is only, you know, that is really, for us in our comprehension, it has to do with the need for a pardon. We just know that we're not good and He's real good and we need Him and we're not, you know, there's some perceived need. It's God-given. It's a God-given view. It's just a very, very tiny view. I need Christ. I am evil. You know, that something like that is what brings us at first to fall on our face and get born again. You know, it's like, you know, we only know Solitaire. When we first get the computer, that's all we know. We know nothing about the ocean of divine brilliance and purpose and wisdom and redemption and death and burial and resurrection and all of this that's been given to us. We know nothing about that. We know nothing about the grace in which we stand. We just know that we've been given something that is called grace. We don't know that we've been brought into a death, that we couldn't die, and that we live by a life that is the very life of the Son of God. We don't know what that means. But see, the Spirit knows all about that. He's like the one that built the computer. He knows all of the capabilities. He knows everything that it can do. He knows the things that have been freely given to you. He knows the things that you have come to. He desires to show it to you, that you might live in the reality of it. Paul says the Spirit was given that we might know the things that have been freely given. The Spirit lures you in with Solitaire. But He built and programmed the computer in this analogy. He knows what you have. Put it that way. 1 Corinthians 2, He knows the deep things of God. He wants to show you what you've come to. He gave you the manual, but here's the problem with what we do with the manual. We flip through and we look for the parts about Solitaire. Because that's what we understand. And even the things that don't have anything to do with Solitaire, we apply them to Solitaire because that's all we know. Well, every chapter is whatever view of this computer that we already have. What a problem. We do the same thing with the Bible. We take this view of Christ, and the Bible testifies of this, and somehow this becomes the lens through which we view the entire thing. And somehow we squeeze every verse right into there. And then we write our books, teach our lessons, propagate our doctrines. Well, that's just the beginning. Solitaire, it's just the beginning. New birth. See, first the Spirit of Truth convicts you of sin. He says Christ is the answer. First he says Christ is Savior. But the Spirit of God then wants to begin to deal with you in your soul about what you've come to in Christ. You accepted a Savior, but you didn't realize that He's only a Savior because He is new life altogether. And more than that, He can't be new life without a complete desolation and desecration of what was formerly there. That wasn't on page one of the manual, but it's in there. In fact, you see that, start seeing that everywhere once you start seeing it. You've come to this great death, and you say, wow, it's a great death. And suddenly you realize that the great death was your death. And then that changes everything again. And then the whole book reads differently again. And it keeps reading differently the more you see. You start seeing when one died, all died. I've been crucified with Christ. My point is you don't see that when you're born again. You don't understand the grace in which you stand. You've read the Word. You read the Word, but it's just a Word. And it's so much greater than just a pardon from your transgression. The Spirit of God has to begin to reveal in you this reality, this grace. Take the things of mine, Jesus says, reveal them unto you. And your spiritual comprehension, your faith, your renewed mind, the mind of Christ working in you, then, again, is always the limitation or the experience of what you have. I know people, and you know people, I'm sure, that come to a genuine new birth, are born again of the Spirit, and yet decades later, it's still this. You know, that's still their view of the salvation. I can tell you that for the first 10 years of my being born again, though I was in full-time ministry, and did all the things that I was trying to do for the Lord, that never got any bigger. And yet I filled in the blanks with so many imaginations and gave myself with all of the zeal of my unrenewed heart to doing what I thought. It's Romans 10:2. I can testify for them, Paul says, that they have zeal for God, but it is not according to knowledge. But failing to receive what God has done for them, they seek to establish it themselves. Story of my Christian life until I saw the cross. And many seem many seem, I guess, that if I can just be blunt, to fall in love with something of religion along the way, and they'll just camp there because they've gotten something of gain from it, and that's where they'll stay. And that's where they'll stay right up until the end, you know. But for some, a need for truth survives all those years. A desire for reality can actually survive through those decades. Amen. A realization that this computer must do far more than just solitaire. There's got to be something else to this whole thing. Realization that grace has got to be more than Jesus dying so that I don't have to. Some people, the Spirit of God has given liberty to show them not just a greater view of grace, but the sufficiency of grace. So, if grace by the Spirit of God revealing salvation becomes in you the working of a death, again, a death that you can't die and a life that then lives, then that can truly overcome the world. It can truly become the sufficiency of all circumstances and situations, and we can actually come to say with Paul, Philippians 4:11, Paul says this, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'd like to just properly translate that last sentence, it's actually, I can do all things in Christ, the one empowering me. Which to me is different. And you can look that up, the past several months, the Lord's kind of had His finger right there in my heart. There's plenty of years in my life have gone by where grace, you know, it was enough for me that grace had to do, I guess my view of grace was God somehow giving me enough to get through something, you know. Or maybe it was God not letting me endure more than I could handle because, after all, grace would catch me if I fell or something like that. You know, that was my view of grace. But see, my straw view has begun to be swallowed up in a paper towel roll, and I've begun to see that what God has done for me in Christ is really all that He could give me. And my heart, more than anything else, began to need to know what God had accomplished and what now stands as reality in Christ and the sufficiency that is in that. It's difficult to describe how that began working in my heart. I'm going to try. I started to see that nothing in or on or of the earth would ever add to or take away from grace. See, I saw that grace wasn't Christ plus anything. Can you hear what I mean by that? It wasn't Christ plus anything. It was Christ as everything. And to be honest, at first I both loved and I disliked the view of that. On the one hand, I always love a greater view of truth. On the other hand, it seemed to me to be too huge to even think about. The implications of that were striking my heart. But nevertheless, there stood in my view grace as Christ plus nothing. And it was like the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Jason, I'd like to work in your heart in such a way that life becomes an experience of grace and not just things made better by grace. Grace was Christ plus nothing. And that was sufficient. Not Christ plus good circumstances. Not Christ plus good emotions. Not Christ plus perfect families. Just Christ and all that is real and true and substance and reality in Him. Just a finished work ready to be revealed. And I saw that what He had given me in Christ was everything that God could possibly give to a soul. And to find sufficiency in anything else was actually to cheapen grace. See, I didn't see that God was against any natural good thing, but when I started to see more clearly, I felt like I saw that no good natural thing that He grants or allows are really the reality of grace. There's nothing wrong with good and natural things. What's wrong was for me to understand those things as the grace of God. Can you see what I mean? I saw that when I tried to find sufficiency in anything other than the reality, the experience, the substance of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, I was trying to add to grace. And in so doing, I was taking away from grace. I was making grace insufficient, or I was making grace a means to something else that I wanted to be sufficient. I did a word search in the New Testament and on the word grace, and I found, you know, 119 times. I was looking for where grace was referring to God fixing things in the natural, where grace was God providing money or protecting from accidents or those kind of things. And sure, there's kindness and there's provision and there's care. But I couldn't find the word grace having anything to do with that. And I know, you know, we use the word that way a lot, but I was really looking for how the word grace was used in the New Testament. Sure, He cares for the lilies, He cares for you, He knows your needs, He counts the hair. Yes, but But I was looking for grace. And I kept finding time and time again, here we have grace as a finished work that's meant to become the reality and substance and sufficiency of all that you and I have come to in Christ. Again, what I found was grace alone sufficient and not things made better by grace. I get a little personal here, if you don't mind. Some of you maybe have had panic attacks in your life. I've had panic attacks, irrational. I'm not afraid of something. It's just, you know, I don't know if any of you ever have a panic attack. It's just irrational terror. It just kind of comes over you. It's a neurological, I don't know, screw up in your brain, I guess. I've had them on and off my entire life, you know, sometimes disappearing for years at a time, sometimes, you know, lasting days or weeks on end. And after some long and some pretty intense emotional pain with panic attacks recently and calling out to God to heal my mind, I began to think of the sufficiency of grace. I began to feel like the Lord started dealing with me with the sufficiency of grace. The thought came to me. I know and I have seen what He is able to do. And I believe in it. And please don't misunderstand me. I believe in it. I love it. I know the Lord heals. I know the Lord fixes. I know the Lord blesses. I know the Lord provides. I'm trying to speak something besides that, though, if you can hear me this morning. I know the Lord can do those things. But the thought began to come to me, what if God doesn't ever fix this, change that, heal this, remove that? What if God just teaches me the sufficiency of Christ made all things unto me? Until I can actually boast, like Paul the Apostle, in the things that make me small so that the grace of God can appear all the more huge. What if the fixing of me could actually get swallowed up and lost in the true knowing of Him? What if grace, what God had done in Christ, could actually be my sufficiency? And again, I say, I know, I'm just trying to be clear. Don't take this to mean that God doesn't or can't heal. He obviously does, and I love it. And I don't mean to suggest that He doesn't know your natural needs or provide for or protect or all those things. But I just like to suggest to you that those things aren't really the reality of what, biblically speaking, grace deals with. This is the way I've written it here. I'll just read it to you. Grace is what God has provided. Grace is what God has provided, given, poured out, and caused to abound in Christ and not in the earth. And regardless of what God does or doesn't do in the earth, grace hasn't changed. And no situation or circumstance or emotion or lack of emotion or event can change the reality and sufficiency of grace. Can you hear what I'm saying? See, grace isn't a bunch of different things He is doing. Grace is the wonderful thing that He has done and the ever-increasing spiritual discovery of His finished work. It's what and where you are. It's far more than what you could ever ask or think, Ephesians says. The question then gets whittled down to one thing again in my heart. Son, do you know grace? Son, do you even want to know grace? Or do you want grace plus something else to be your sufficiency? Well, for most of my life, the plus was really all I cared about. Grace was just some biblical word that I'd memorized, and I suppose I had some kind of spiritual concept that went along with it. But it was really devoid of any substance or reality. But in this most recent battle with my panic attacks, the question would come to me, is my sufficiency in emotions? is my sufficiency in circumstances? Is my sufficiency in something of the old creation or the old man? What if my brain always fights against the reality with these ridiculous emotions from time to time? What if I have to pastor a church and love a wife and raise a family in this uncomfortable weakness and this natural feeling of nothingness? What if grace, this is what hit me, what if grace has nothing to do with what He gives me as mine, but it's only what I find in Him as His? And that's when I started to cry, because I knew it was true. I knew it was true. Grace, not what God gives to me as mine, but what I find in Him as His. And that just seems so real and so certain and so unchanging. What I'm allowed to participate in Him as His. And of course, in finding what's His, I also find what is mine, because He's my life. And so Paul can say, "Do you not know that all things are yours?" But see, not mine as mine, but mine as His. And in my heart these last few months, like I said, there's been a scary side to that, but then there's also been this wonderfully freeing side to that, because I've seen and come to know that grace is a finished work that never changes. It's not contingent upon anything. Not emotion, not time, not situations, not anything. Not prison, not treading water in the deep, not beatings without number. It's timeless. It's finished. It stands. It stands there as the finished work of God. It stands there done. But do we stand in it? It stands complete. It's ready to be revealed. It's already what is. It already is where you are and who you are in Him. It's known by faith. You can't change it. Nothing can change it. It can only be discovered by the Spirit of God revealing Christ, the person of it, in you. And the more the Spirit of God reveals the reality of God's grace, the more I believe you and I will find it to be exceedingly sufficient. Exceedingly sufficient. Amen. We'll stop with that.